When you watched the Star Trek last night and you watched Amanda, you know Amanda, the girl who was a Q, you looked at Amanda and you said to yourself, Amanda shouldn't go back with the Qs. She should stay with the Starfleet because that's really what she wants to do. And why did Amanda, with all her abilities to make puppies appear and disappear and stop a barrel from falling on Riker and the other things that she did very nobly, making the furnace that was going to burst and blow up and just stop it, why didn't she stay there with that? What is it that Q himself said to her that was significant? Come, we want to train you how to use your talents, how to control your talents. I think probably he said control them more than train them. And what would be the difficulty that Amanda would have if she stayed on the ship? She would have her emotion jump in there and say, this is right, this is wrong, this is good, this is bad, you see. She would not be in control. She would not be in control because she'd be judging. She would be judging from her human self. And as she judged from her human self, she would be telling everybody how to live their lives. She'd be telling everybody how to experience what they're going through. And she would be saving people. Now, was Commander Riker supposed to be killed by that barrel falling on top of him? Mm-hmm. Yes, he was. That was part of the dream. But yes, who did that?
Q.
Q. So in other words, that was not really part of the show. And the furnace blowing up, that was really not part of the show. If Q weren't there, that wouldn't happen.
Right.
Now, was Q a beneficial or non-beneficial action there in the event? And you say he was not beneficial because it was a naughty thing. But it was beneficial because it showed this girl what she could do. And though it frightened her that this person could be hurt, and she didn't want that to happen, she had to learn values. Now, what was the redeeming quality of the Star Trek show with having her in it? Was the redeeming quality of her realizing that she's got a lot of power and a lot of potential, and she doesn't know how to use it? Because her emotions were the driving force. Now, having Q direct it, I don't think it's going to make it any better, although he may help her learn how to control it and use it when she wants to. Do you think that she has had enough background bringing up by her earthly parents and so forth and by her experiences in the academy or wherever she was before, do you think she had enough background to have values? Yes, she did. And that's why she saved him. That's why she wanted to make everything work properly. Now, when you watched the show, you were mixed with your own emotions. You were thinking, this is right and that's wrong. The first thing you did was to look at Q and say, ugly, 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 terrible, what meanness he has, what hatred he has. He didn't have any meanness or any hatred at all. Because Q was like, who? Data. Data has no emotions because he's not a human. So Data merely is programmed in all he does to do things beneficial to a given end. If the ship is there, the ship should run perfectly. If the people are there, they should run as beneficially as they can. But the girl, she didn't have that particular thing, but she had a little bit from her parents, but not as specifically as Data would. But Q, his was, whatever pleases me, whatever gives me a thrill, if I can hurt somebody and watch them be in pain, then, you know, that's my gift to myself. But you wanted to hate him. Now, the very act of your wanting to hate him was just what you don't want to do with data. Data, if he were programmed to do something, you'd hate him. Data was programmed at different times to do different things by the people who had authority to program him. And he felt that that was wrong. But he felt that that was what he had to do because that was what he was programmed to do. Now, you say, I don't understand that. Well, when you always live from your center within yourself and you never judge anything, you observe. And when you observe it, you don't observe it as right or wrong. When you observe it, like you say you want to be the absolute, you say you want to be the allness, you say you want to be the isness. Well, in the isness, there is no human emotional point. If someone is killed by some tremendous explosion and they're scattered to the four winds, who's given us the clue on that? Who's given us the clue on what's to be done? Jesus. He said, if my ashes were scattered to the four winds, I could have them brought together as one. And why did he say that? Because that's not important. That's not your reality always is whether your appearance is scattered to the four winds, whether your appearance is injured or whether your appearance is Riker as a commander of the starship, as the barrel would fall on him and kill him. You say, oh, it's terrible. No. Number one, it's not going to happen because they don't want to kill him off because they need him for the next episode.
Right.
They need him for another stories. And if he were killed, they would bring him back to life somehow, you know? They would have Crusher, the doctor, come in there and say, oh, okay, Worf, he died.
Right.
And what happened to him? The Worf, the Klingon nature, as they tell us, the Klingon nature isn't like the human nature. And he dies, and then he can come back, apparently. And he did. And you didn't think anything about it when he came back. You thought, gee, that's good, that's nice, you know, that's wonderful. But how did he do that? That's his nature. Now, is that our nature too?
Yeah.
Are we ever killed? Are we ever dead? We think we are, but we're not. Daniel, he was working on blessing his father yesterday. Now, was his father alive or dead?
Alive.
He was very much alive. And he was alive more than Daniel ever experienced him before in his life, if he carried that through properly. Now, how can that be? How can that be? Because we are creating our own shows here. We're creating our own theater. We're creating our own characters. We're creating our own script. We're doing. Why don't we write the script the way we want it? You know, write the script and have Worf say, well, that's a Klingon nature to die and then come back, you know. And here this girl, Amanda, she stood there looking at the furnace getting ready to blow, and her instant thought wasn't to say, halt, balance. But she let it go until she finally had to do something because her heart says, you can't let this happen. But what really was going on there? She had the Q attitude about her, that ability, and she knew that Q did that, that he caused that, and that it was a test for her. And she didn't know that she wanted to be tested by him. What did she do when Q tried to be attentive to her? Pow! He flew against the wall! And he's supposed to have more power than she did. But she's great. But who's writing the script? Who's saying it? We're showing her morality. We're showing her attitude toward life and her attitude toward circumstances and situations. And you can't see that because you're looking at it from the human point of view. You're not looking deeper. What is the scriptwriter attempting to say through this script? Always, throughout all the Star Trek programs, Picard is coming through, that's the next generation, Picard is coming through as a gentleman, always as an honorable person, always as a person who has high values and high purposes. And when Picard told his ship to do things, he had always gave them a little information as to why they were doing it. And when this other commander told the ship what to do, he knew he had secret things that he had to keep a secret, and he couldn't tell them, so they just had to act because he said it. And this is discipline, but this is show. And were you irritated by how the show was conducted? Yes. And you're supposed to be irritated. But the thing is, if you are not irritated, then what happens? You're the master. When you're not irritated, that means you have the whole picture in front of your mind. This is a script, this is a story, this is a program, this is what's going on. I am the master of it, and it is not disturbing me in the slightest. And that's what makes it all work that way. And so that's what we want to do. We want to make it work that way so that we don't go misunderstanding what the Star Trek program is or what any other program is. What we are doing is we are the script writers. We are the actors. We are the producers. We're the whole show. And if any area we feel we're not the whole show, then we have given up control. Now, do you want to give up control? Okay. Then always say, all is
in divine order.
Because you are the
master.
You are the script writer. You're the master. You wrote the script. And if you didn't like the script, well, take your eraser out and change it. But always, Picard must be a man of principle. Always, Riker must be a sexy old bastard. Whenever he sees a pretty girl or something like that, he's just a young stud. And unfortunately, that's the way they show it. And how do they show the various characters? Each character has a format that they live by. And when they step out of that character for whatever reason, we say, now what's going on there? Why are they doing that? What's happened to them? But when they're in balance, when they live their character, then we enjoy the show because we feel comfortable. And sometimes life makes us feel uncomfortable by some of the characters acting improperly or out of line or something, and we don't know what to do. So what do? We remember that we are the script writer, and we are the ones who make all the decisions. And Rex is now bringing me my shoe, and he says, here you are, Dad. Have you got something more for me to eat? And I say, no, Rex. That's your show, not mine. I didn't write that in my script, that he gets more to eat just because he brings me my shoe. But I never do. If I were to change his script and start giving him something whenever he brings me my shoe or takes some clothing from someplace, he'll just take more.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not in control. And I am in control. And that's why Amanda went back with Q to train on learning how to use all the powers that she had. And when she's done training, then she'll say, "Pah! I'm back at Star Trek Academy, I'm going to learn there, and I'm going to do these things, and Pah! I'm done learning, and Pah! This is." See, once she learns that she can do that, and we can all learn that too. And we can say, Ellen, I am independently.
Let's see.
I am whole.
And perfect.
All is
in divine order.
And it is so.
Yes.
And so it is. I love you.
Love you.
I love you.
Love you.
I love you.
Love you.